Received an interesting call yesterday when we were having a discussion with a couple of people around tourism and education, et cetera, et cetera. And we got a call from Howard Goldberg. Now, he said, "Kino, I've got to tell you about the Chess for Change." Now, Chess for Change has been around for about 15 years. And they started 15 years ago by paying teachers to go into mainly disadvantaged schools during the academic day and teach chess to the children, mainly grade R's to grade 3's, and in some cases up to grade 7. But let me not tell the whole story. Howard Goldberg, I said I would get you back on to talk about this phenomenal story. Great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much. Good morning.
Great. So, just listen, this is interesting. So, you're also involved in boxing. So,
Let's don't ask about the two together, but that's a different story.
Listen, you need to box your way out of some situations in life, eh? So, pardon the pun, but let's not knock boxing. Just tell us a bit about yourself first before we even talk about Chess for Change.
Okay, well, I'm a former headmaster. I used to be a boxing referee, I used to be a boxing judge. I did 100 world title fights. And I learned chess when I was 5 years old. Was not a bad player in the 80s and 90s in the top 10 in the country. And I've worked with kids and I've worked with sport. And chess is just the most amazing sport for young kids.
Okay, so here's the question. For those who don't know, they know what chess is, but they don't really understand that link between chess, young kids, and their future. Explain that to us.
So what we do, what we do really is we go into the schools, we teach the young kids, and it gives them so many advantages and so many skills. It improves their thinking, their analytical power, their decision-making, their strategy, confidence, discipline, and there is a correlation between chess players and improved mathematics.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk a little bit about, you know, how exactly you go about doing it, where you do it, and some of the results that you've seen due to this.
Okay, so we're in Port Elizabeth, we're in Amanas, we're in Worcester, we're in Cape Town. We've got schools. Am I allowed to mention the schools?
Yeah, of course, go for it.
Okay, H.J. Kronenberg, Rocklands in Mitchell's Plain, Floriat Schools, Square Hill. We were in about 20 schools. We go in and we teach the kids from scratch. Often they're about 50 kids, 40 to 50 kids in a class, young kids, and they absolutely lap it up. They love it. We're quite entertaining. We make it entertaining for the kids. And the results are absolutely fantastic. There was a school in Amanas whose mathematics went from 1 year to another year. It went up, I think, by 20 or 30%. So we incorporate quite a lot of maths in our teaching, movements, strategies, patterns, etc. And it's just, you know, the kids love it, and it equips them with skills that they need when they get older.
So how do you make that connection between, say, chess and mathematics per se? Because on the one hand, you're thinking about geometry, algebra, and, you know, all the other pure math stuff. And I mean, yeah, you've got pawns and kings and queens and bishops and how do you actually connect the two?
So on the chessboard, we have 64 squares, and each square, you have to look at the whole board. You have to look at one square and then the squares around it and the squares around those squares, etc. And you have to look at all the variations possible. You've got so many different pieces and they all move differently. Mm. And you have to look deep and you have to actually project down the line in the game what's going to happen in 3 moves or 5 moves. Can I do this? What happens if he does that? And then you start doing mathematics. You start saying, well, it will take me this to do that and that to do this. And the maths comes into it to such a great extent. Now, I was a bit of a loafer at maths at school, and when I played chess, my maths just increased dramatically, you know, my marks. And we do that with the kids. We do a lot of sums with the kids. We'll say to them, okay, here are, you know, they do this in grade 2. We do it in grade R, the addition. We say, okay, you've got a queen, it's worth 9. You've got a bishop, it's worth 3. You've got a castle worth 5. We put them all together. How much do you get? And the kids start working it out at a much earlier age than what they do academically at school.
But also that then speaks to the how we go about educating, doesn't it? I mean, it's a key part of it, because if you're reading things of a book, it's not, you can't touch it, you can't feel it. It doesn't emotionally engage you. It's just on a book. And I mean, if you taught someone chess through a textbook, it probably wouldn't have the same effect.
Definitely not. You need that personal interaction, and you need a bit of humor. You know, the kids react, young kids react, and they're like sponges. Whatever you teach them at age 5, 6, 7, they're going to remember forever. So if you can make it entertaining and if you can make it fun while they're learning, they're going to play forever.
Now, the schools that you've gone through, I take it you've approached those individually, or have you gone through education departments to do this?
We've gone through them individually. We've done it ourselves. We have met with the Western Cape Education Department, who loved the idea, but obviously there are constraints with their tight curriculum, especially now. But it's something, you know, when we get back to normal, hopefully sooner rather than later, you know, we'd love to go into all the schools in the Western Cape. We'd like to go to every single school and just give them the skills that will benefit them.
Yeah, I think it's important. We've been chatting to Chantal Ilbrey, as you know, from Mind of the Fox, and talk about the how we teach. So I know I knock the current curriculum, but CAPS is not totally bad. I mean, it's got great concepts. I mean, it teaches you, you know, key things that you need to know in life. But the challenge is always in the how.
Absolutely. I agree with you 100%. It's just, you know, we take each class for 30 minutes a week. And I'm sure that the schools could find 30 minutes just to give kids skills that they might not get otherwise.
So where do you think the challenge lies? You know, we all talk about this, Howard, and you do stuff, right? So, I mean, what you're doing and what you guys have been doing over 15 years has been phenomenal, right? But it's not enough to make the needle move. We can't move the needle with this, right? So where are we falling short here?
So we reach about 7,000 kids a week with Chess for Change. We'd like to put a couple of noughts onto that and reach 70,000 kids a week. The foundation that David Berman has obviously does not have enough finance to cover, you know, multiplying it by 10. But it would be great to find a corporate who says, this is a fantastic idea. Let's sit down and have a chat. Let's educate our kids even better, and let's go with the project.
But do you find corporates? I mean, this is the other thing. Corporates obviously stretched, and you get a lot of them, for example, who, you know, they've got their feeding schemes, and feeding people very important, because you can't concentrate without eating. But there does not seem to be coordination between these corporates. There's not a sort of monitoring and evaluation process that looks at, okay, so we've got 25% of corporates doing this in this particular field, and it's covering 70 to 80% of our problem, but we still have 90% of our problem sitting over here, which might be learning or reading with understanding, for example. So every corporate, you know, you've got a manager coming in, and there's a strategy for the business, and you know, if 70% of corporates decide to feed people, and we don't teach young people how to read with understanding, we're still going to have a problem in society.
Absolutely. It's a major problem. You've got to balance everything. What we'd like to do is get some of the corporates in to actually witness what we do, because it's actually mind-blowing. You've got 40 kids who are loud and et cetera. We walk in, there's absolute silence, and they just love what we do. It empowers them. It gives them those skills, and they can't wait. You know, we get mobbed every time we come there, and we have to sort of say, hey, wait till the class. So it just, you know, it's easy to talk, but without the corporate seeing the good work that's been done by Chess for Change, it's actually futile. You know, people need to see the results and what we're doing.
But is it only chess? I would imagine you could have the same type of effect with things like strategy games. I know, you know, JP Smith would give him a hell of a hard time And sometimes he deserves it. But the one thing he does, and not many people talk about this, is that he takes games. He's a big gamer himself, and I'm not talking about sort of EA games, board games, strategy games. And he goes to some of the poorest areas and teaches young kids how to play these strategy games. And for the longest time, Howard, we've been saying, oh, but games, they make kids stupid. But that is not true, as you've pointed out, with chess. Chess is a game. It's a sport.
There's so many games that can equip these kids. And I'm just going to throw a couple. There's Boggle and Scrabble and all these games that make children think and sit down and strategize and plan and work together. They can only benefit the kids in the long run.
Yeah, we can. And I'd love to take some calls on this, actually. Maybe people are doing things differently. Maybe you're doing something differently in your neighborhood. Maybe you, too, are using games and other interesting things to get young people to, engage more effectively with the content that we have. And I think we also have to say, Howard, that this is not just about, let's get kids to read. The future of the country depends on what we do today and how we take our learners forward. Because think about 80% of young people not being able to read with understanding. What are the knock-on effects when it comes
If I can just add one thing, which maybe illustrates our point. Mm. There is a school in New York, which is the biggest feeder to Harvard University. We know Harvard is one of the top universities in the world.
Yeah.
And this school has chess as a compulsory subject with a full-time chess teacher. So it's an interesting, we're offering to go into the schools, and we know schools' budgets are extremely tight. They're not paying. It's free to the school. So we're giving them something for nothing.
Yeah. So when they tell you how we don't have resources, one has to ask the question why, when it's not really resource intensive.
Absolutely.
I don't know.
It's
a freebie. an absolute freebie. It doesn't cost corporates a hell of a lot of money to sponsor this. I mean, how much does a chessboard cost? I mean, how expensive can you get? You don't need anything phenomenally expensive to teach the principles of chess or some of these other games out there. And I don't know, a beggar's belief as always, why people don't, because it's not conventional and because it's not what the book says we should do. And because some of us are dinosaurs and, extinction is not such a bad thing after all. I don't understand.
I'm with you.
I really don't.
I'm completely with you.
So if you are out there, if you're a corporate, if you'd like to get hold of, Chess for Change and chat to Howard Goldberg, happy to make that connection with you. We're looking at improving mathematics marks. We want to do that. But why not have young people have some fun while doing it? It'll stay with them a lot more. That part of the brain we always talk about, the limbic system, comes into, pardon the pun, play when we talk about this. But you also have to use the prefrontal cortex. So I think this is probably a game that builds the connection between the two very effectively, which I think assists learning.
You're 100% right.
Well, let's take some calls here, Howard. Let's take some calls. Let's go to Mike. Mike.
Okay.
Mike's in Belleville. How's it, Mike?
Hello, Keno. How you doing?
Always good, sir.
Keno, just as a matter of interest, I taught my kids to count by teaching them to play darts.
Ah.
Now, you start on a double, and then you go through from, say, 501 down.
Yes.
And then you get to the end, you have to finish on a double.
Yep.
Now, when you've got, say, for argument's sake, a figure like 201 to finish or 221 to finish, and you say, what do I need? I need treble 20. And I need a double 20, so you go for that. If you miss the treble 20 and get a 20, you've got to be able to count very quick to be able to say, well, what do I go for next? Do I go for a treble 15 or whatever? You take your mind off the throwing of the arrow, and your concentration on your accuracy goes. If you can count quickly, you can throw an arrow and straight away throw another one.
Wonderful. Absolutely phenomenal.
And it worked.
I mean, Howard, a brilliant example.
Absolutely correct. Another one, just to throw out there, is when you're driving in the car with your kids and you're driving and your kids are on the cell phone, get them off the cell phone, look at number plates and add or multiply or do anything just to get those numbers floating in their brains a little bit.
Exactly. So let's go to Joy. Joy's in Camps Bay. Hey, Joy.
Hi, Kino. A couple of years ago, it was about 14, 15 years ago, two Americans came to South Africa with this whole chess idea. And they brought, as far as resources are concerned, they brought with them plastic mats and plastic chess pieces, which they distributed. So if you could get somebody to maybe create that, it might be an idea.
I think so. I definitely think so. Well, thanks for that.
Useless information.
No, it's not useless at all. It got me smiling. Thank you very much. That is Joy in Camps Bay.
It was actually David Berman who came out with David McNally, who's a grandmaster. Mm. And there's a movie about him called Knights of the South Bronx, whereby he goes into a very poor school in America, in New York, and the kids are obviously very troubled and delinquents. And he teaches them chess, and they actually win the school's chess championship at the end of the year. Wonderful movie.
Yeah, just I should check that out, actually. And there's also Google, by the way. Google looks, and I forget which score it is. They look at one of your gaming scores before actually hiring you. And I think, I'm gonna have to Google it to find out which one it is, but it just popped up in my mind. They look, what they're also saying is that we don't necessarily need to take people out of university. We just want people to think and innovate and be able to be part of the culture of innovation within Google. And if we can get these things right at school, Howard, you know, and if we're not trying to send rockets up to Mars and into space stations, where you probably need to go to university for a little bit, we could almost exit young people straight out of schools into some of the most innovative businesses out there who will do the education themselves.
Well, I mean, the world has changed so much and continues to change and evolve, whether for the better or worse, nobody knows. But, you know, the days of university, as you correctly point out, those days are not similar to what they are today, the future days of university. People need to be more creative in the world. People are going to be working from home more. You know, we have to find new ways of creating skills for people to move into a very advanced technological world that we face.
Listen, I want to just thank you for the great work that you're doing. And if those corporates now want to, you know, even though, especially those with the stronger balance sheets during lockdown, they feel, listen, we want to assist at school level. We want to help with math marks. Where do they get hold of you?
They can get me at Manic, M-A-N-I-C, at iAfrica.com. Or they can actually call me on 084-581-4612.
Manic?
Absolutely fine. Manic.
Is that because you're so busy?
Everybody asked us. Actually, my wife is Mandy and my daughter's Nicole.
So okay. So they keep you manic. Okay, wonderful.
And if you believe that, then I'm on a good wicket. So, there we go.
Howard Goldberg, what a lekker chat. Thank you for joining us on the show today.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
There we go. Thank you very much for that. And I don't know, are you an open-minded parent? Are you willing to try different things, or are you just sticking to the rules? The rules that tell you that the way we teach at the moment is the right way. There are schools that are exceptional when it comes to this. Government schools as well, by the way. But those are islands of excellence. I think the whole idea is to make sure that we make what they do contagious and that other schools catch it and corporates pay for it and, you know, communities are willing to support it so that we can create a generation who believes that anything is possible. But some people have a problem with that thought, that anything is possible. Some people are arguing that, whoa, you've got to tell children that anything isn't possible, that there are certain things you can't do. Is that the right mindset to try and inculcate? My personal opinion is that no, it's not. Because the reality as we know it came about, I think, because some people didn't believe that everything is not possible. Someone believed that one day we'll be able to take these computers and do phenomenal stuff with them. So, some people believe that we didn't have to take twigs and rub them together in order to see what's happening inside a house, and we got a light bulb. Things that were not possible before.